Police emergency. Clear the museum.
We think there may be a daring crime plotted.
Yes, of course.
Strange. Look.
The Joker.
He's included in the Comedian's Hall of Fame after all.
Maybe the paper made a mistake.
Or else...
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. The museum is now closing for the day. We will reopen tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Move promptly to the exits, please.
You were saying Batman or else?
I don't know. Museum officials could have heard about the Joker's prison break and hastily included him.
Sure! So as not to enrage him to stealing the jewels.
Or else this whole thing could be a trick to divert us from his real intentions.
Holy red herring. How'll we find out?
Let's look up the director of the museum.
Special.
Send in the clowns. Those Daffy, Laffy clowns. Send in those soulful and doleful schmaltz by the bowlful clowns. Send in the clowns.
So, Han, welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Tottenham Hotspur.
Yep.
So, oddly enough, I was really going to talk about this week. I rewatched In Bruges.
Oh,
I don't know how long it's been since you guys have watched this movie.
Probably about 6 months.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you.
This year, definitely.
I don't know why, but it's the first time I've seen it, and I know I heard a Tottenham Hotspurs joke in that movie.
Really? Where was this? I don't remember.
I think there's a point where he's like he's shitting on Bruges again, and then he's like, "Well, it's not really good, but it's not." I think it's when they're talking about purgatory. It's like it's not good, but it's not bad. It's kind of
like
Tottenham.
Spurs. Yeah.
I don't think I'd heard that joke the whole time.
That movie is just quality.
It's weird because I watch it now and it feels to me a little like watching Rian Johnson's Brick, where it's definitely not a bad movie, but you watch it and you're like, oh, this is like the rough cut of all the things he'll come to do.
Excuse me?
I am very upset right now.
What did
and
you
I do
just
not
say?
Want to speak to Andrew anymore.
You know when you watch early filmmakers' movies and they don't have budgets?
I don't like this. I don't like
and they just look rough.
I would like to punch Andrew.
Andrew Robbins. This movie is
best movie.
This movie single-handedly shaped my perception of Colin Farrell. This movie is the reason why I watch other movies with Colin Farrell in it.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying.
This movie is important.
Stop it.
It has import.
I need you to stop.
It needs to be inducted into the American Film Institute Hall of Fame for import.
All I'm saying is that when you watch In Bruges and then you follow it up immediately with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, you have to tell me there's a big difference in what you're watching.
No.
Actually, I have to tell you, Andrew, I agree. One is probably technically better than the other.
Incorrect.
But I rate In Bruges 10 million times more than
so you're
Epping.
This is a very weird conversation because I want to stab both of you. But for being wrong at the same time, which is very,
Damien,
very bad.
I can watch this movie just over and over on a loop. Whatever the hell that movie is called, Three Billboards. I could watch as well. It's great. But it's a different kind of... It's not the kind of humor. Remember Who's Talking Now, right? And the sort of like brain power I now have to allocate to film.
All right.
I can do Three Billboards.
So now that I've caused this level of anarchy, I feel it's time for us to walk into the movie we're actually going to talk about this week. Alright, this week we're here to discuss the 2019 latest comic book release, because that's all we do on this podcast. Yes. Joker, directed by one Sir Mr. Todd Phillips, the man who brought us The Hangover and Old School. Mm-hmm. And Due Date. Do you remember Due Date, guys? He did that movie.
I do remember that movie.
It is very unfortunate.
Yes, yep. It is.
This movie is an origin story of the DC character villain, the Joker, played by Joaquin Phoenix, who in this story is played out as a failed stand-up comedian who turns to violence after he has a psychotic break, or is kind of crazy and just has a break because people don't listen to him, people don't think he's funny, something like that.
His life is a continual psychotic break.
I don't know if I'd call him a failed stand-up comedian.
Please stop bothering my kid.
Sorry.
Arthur, I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
I'm going to start at the top,
yes,
by throwing it out there that I'm going to open up spoilers. Because there's no way we're not talking about this thing in deep.
Agreed. But can we do what we did last time and just before everybody moves on, all one of you, whether we like this movie or not?
That'd be me.
You like this movie, Damien?
I like this movie.
Okay. Andrew, you like this movie?
A fair amount.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree with you, Andrew, funnily enough. I don't really like this movie. But we may now continue into the Spoilerville of Spoiler Town.
Yeah,
okay. So, Damien,
yeah,
please begin.
Sure. There's been a lot of hubbub surrounding this movie. For reasons, after seeing the movie, I do not understand. But luckily for me, the only write-ups I've seen is write-ups about people being upset. I have no actual understanding as to, because I didn't want to read them, because I didn't want any of that to color my perception of the movie.
I almost want to say I like this movie because the people that don't like it, I don't agree with why they don't like it.
I honestly don't know why they don't like it, but it is immaterial to me and watching this movie. I remember saying this a couple, probably this year at some point as well. I had gotten real tired of the comic book formula. The movies were middling westerns. You know what they are, but they weren't bringing anything special. And then Taika saved me. I really thought that Thor was going to be like the lowest bar. Like, this is where, comic book movies would come to die. Turns out it was the Dark Phoenix, but we couldn't have known that ahead of time.
No, that was very bad.
No, I'm saying what I expected Thor 3 to be was what Dark Phoenix became.
Okay, cool.
But Thor...
Statement retracted.
Yeah, Taika saved my life and actually got me excited. And then they did that first Thanos movie, which I really enjoyed. Because it was the first time someone spent the time and did a story about the bad guy, in essence. And so watching this, I had seen the trailer, I knew it wasn't going to be your typical comic book story. And that is what I wanted. And that is what this movie delivered. Now, it's not the best movie, but I really do appreciate Joaquin's performance. Like, he nailed what he was like. At no point did I feel that he was trying. You know, like, there's points looking back, watching the Heath Ledger Joker, you can, like, it is a performance that he's giving. That is not a real person. He's just, the much like Bane, they're just stand-ins for Batman to hate and punch. But, like, you see that the Joker in this movie, his entire life was tragic. And the more the movie continued, the worse it became. There's a point towards the end where it is revealed that his mother had lost her goddamn mind. Where I went, this is probably too much. His life doesn't have to be the most tragic.
Oh, wait, that's not something that... So, from day one, I was like, that's going to happen.
No, listen.
And it did.
It happening is one thing. Yeah. But having everything else, like having the laughing thing... And having...
Which I actually liked. I like that that's how they explained away that
part of his
persona.
Right. Having the wife's...
Or rather part of, not his persona, but part of what we all have come to expect
from
the Joker. Yeah.
Having his mother be sleeping with men and having them abusing him, like, all of these things stacked up here. It's like, you guys are trying to, like, give a justification for a psychopath being a psychopath. And I get it. But his life doesn't have to be, the most. When, towards the end, when he's giving his big, when he does his full turn and he's giving his speech, and it's like, this is what happens when you... ignore this section of the population and you get what you deserve and whatever. A lot of the movies building up to that point. But you don't need him to have the most tragic backstory in history to justify him murdering people. Some people are just murderous psychopaths. They don't need a lot of prodding or anything. They're monster. Watching, what's her name? Zaza
Beats.
Right, Zaza. Oh my God, Beats.
Or is it Zazzy Beats?
Zazzy Beats.
Zazzy Beats. Yeah.
There's a point where he develops a relationship with her, and when it happens so quickly. You're just like, something isn't quite right, and that is the point. That is the thing that the movie does that I appreciate for the entire run of the movie. Everything that happens on the screen, that in your mind you go, that doesn't seem right. As the movie progresses, the movie shows you that the reason it felt that way was deliberate. It's because nothing that he sees you can take. You can't take him at his word. He's a crazy person and his mind doesn't work. It is supposed to work. And so all these situations he gets into, all the things that he does, you're just like, yeah. All of it tracks. And I enjoyed that experience. I also thoroughly enjoyed going to a movie at Carib, where it is a comic book movie having 12 people in the theater and at intermission having 8 of those people literally say fuck this movie and I will give a movie extra marks for doing that. If you can get Jamaicans to take their hard-earned money and go, I don't even want this back, then the movie might not be the best movie, but it did do something right. And I really enjoyed this movie. Like, it's weird that you guys don't seem to like this movie. But I haven't heard what you guys have to say. So, but I did. I enjoyed all the performances. I enjoyed that the movie wasn't crushingly long. It never feel like it dragged to me. The only part of the movie that I definitely dislike is them working Batman's origin story in there. I was very upset. But for everything else, I enjoyed the movie.
Fuck, I didn't think that scene with Thomas Wayne dying.
I didn't think Todd Phillips had it either. Because these aren't the movie he makes. So, Andrew, you seem to dislike this movie the most, I'm guessing.
I don't know. Douglas, do you want to challenge me?
No, this is not a competition. Andrew, you've
damn it.
Won.
Damn it, I always thought I could win. So, I don't completely dislike this movie. I can see the good qualities of this movie.
Andrew Robinson walking it back.
Todd Phillips, Damon, you mentioned it. Todd Phillips might be the surprise of the year of, oh my God, he made a fucking movie.
Yeah.
One of the things I loved, I appreciate a lot about this movie, is that I feel if you leave this movie 15 minutes before it's over, you will definitely hate this movie. If you leave this movie at the end, you might like something because it kind of pulls things together. Like this is a movie where its build up is necessary for the end it's giving you, but at the same time, the end just wasn't for me. And I think that's really where I fall with this movie. The end is what kind of just made everything else explode in my mind, where I started to think about all of the lead up and how all of it was just so weird. And it's not necessarily in the sense of like the relationship with Zazie Beetz, where they then tell him, that wasn't real, right? And maybe there are like 20 other things that don't make sense to me in this movie that they'd be like, but Andrew, that isn't real. But I'm not fucking sure. It was weird, okay? Because why in the hell are those co-workers showing up at his house at that point in the movie when he's just like straight up murdering people? I don't even understand how he gets on to television at that point, other than this Robert De Niro man is ridiculous. I also was thinking a lot about this recently, that there are two points that I think kind of hinder this movie, right? Two massive points as to how they structure things out. So this is a DC film. This is the Joker who is only ever spoken under the breath of Batman, in a system, in a story structure where he is always the villain to be defeated by the hero. But in this film, we have him being played up. I don't know if I want to use the word hero. He's given a lot of reasons for the things he does. Let's put it that way. Right? Whether you agree with those reasons or not, the film gives them reasons, right? And it felt weird to see a film like this where he doesn't have the Batman beside him. Where this isn't a story in which he's just a cartoon villain and Batman is there to beat him. It felt strange to me to see this story and to have someone so vile, because at this version of the Joker isn't the comical Joker, it's not the fun look. This is a vile Joker, just kind of have his own day, and it felt strange. I don't know how I truly feel about it, but then it brought up my second idea that I think I heard somewhere else, and it's specifically to the fact that this movie, and it's very obvious to those who've seen it, is very heavily influenced by two Scorsese films.
yeah,
The King of Comedy, The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver.
Yep.
Right? Those are probably the two biggest ones, but, you know, I'm sure there's more someone can find deep down in there. And first of all, when it comes to The King of Comedy, we've spoken about it before. I remember you guys not liking that movie. I don't really want to talk too heavily about that one. But Taxi Driver,
yes.
Right? There is something about Scorsese's Taxi Driver which involves revenge violence and all sorts of lunacy in it, with a person that you could put very akin to the Joker character that we see here. But I feel with the Taxi Driver film, there's no point in that movie where you like Taxi Driver. You like, I've forgotten his main character, the main character's name right now. Travis Bickle. Right?
Cabby.
Driver boy.
And or you feel sorry for Travis Bickle. Like, he's just Travis Bickle and doing what he's doing. And there's something about that movie that just works in that way. This movie, I feel like the movie asks us to feel for the Joker. Right? And there's pieces in this where I don't feel anything for him. And it just felt weird to kind of have it build up the way it did. But more to the point, I think there was an interesting question I found out of all of this, which I don't know if we want to tangent into it. Leaning on the Scorsese influence is, have we ever truly liked a Scorsese lead character? I mean, they're all dirtbags.
I like Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that's because that's what you do, isn't it?
What's the one with...
Also, I have to tell you, the guy, you know, helicopters fly over him. I liked him too. Henry.
The undercover one.
Oh, Departed?
Departed. I liked...
Matt Damon, I agree.
Yeah, no, I like DiCaprio.
I think we need to call someone for Douglas.
That one was a joke. I actually do like Matt Damon, but not because he's likable.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know why you said that. And that's pretty good. We're forgetting all the Oceans movies.
But yeah, this Douglas, you were saying you don't agree with the idea that the movie wants us to feel for the Joker.
So I'm not going to say it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Right? Because maybe it does, and maybe I'm just reading it wrong. Maybe I'm just a weirdo. Because I know that is one of the reasons why most of the people that hate this movie. Ah. That and representation of mental illness.
I figured it was something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So, yes, this movie, and I'm going to use the word explain, but it doesn't, I don't feel it explains his behavior in the sense that, oh, this is why, and it's justified. I think it's more just, this is why.
These are the circumstances. Right? And he used that to become a monster.
Yeah. Now, events happen, right? Whether or not events are good, bad, or indifferent is a completely different story. I believe, yes, this explains what goes on and what drives him. Mm-hmm. But just because I see on the screen that something bad happens doesn't mean I must immediately say, yeah, I'm on this guy's side. And I have to tell you, when I watched this movie, I was not on his side. And I did not think that, you know, this was like a sob story for, you know, look at the Joker's past kind of thing.
Up until the stuff on the train, when he smokes those three guys. Up until that point, you're like, boy, this brother life had. But in the back, and that is what I like about the movie, you know that he's the Joker and you know what the Joker is. So what you're watching is what connects this sad sack of shit to the monster that he becomes. When he murders the people on the train, and at first you see him panic and whatnot, but then he gets a little bit more time. And you see him dancing in the restaurant. And then he says himself, I did something that everyone tells me is wrong. But I enjoyed killing those three guys. That you go, oh.
Paperboy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh. I was upset that you weren't there because I said that in the movie. And no one nobody laughed. Nobody knew what that was.
I'm all about that paperboy. I didn't say that. I was not in the right company to say that anyway. I would have just said it, laughed at myself, and people would have asked me to leave the theater. Anyway. After he smokes those guys, and you see, you're just like, oh, this is the, like, that is about halfway through the movie. And then from that point forward, you can't really have any sympathy for his situation. He killed three guys and he seems real excited about it. And it's like, oh, he's a monster. But again, even I'm trying to see it from your point of view, Andrew, and I still don't see.
No, I can understand, like, if somebody believes that this is what the movie is doing. Because remember, I can't remember what movie it was. But I had the same problem with another movie. Oh, it was the one where it was based on true life and they stole something from a library or something like that.
Oh, yeah, the books.
And they made them out to be like the fucking... Boo-hoo-hoo, oh my God, yeah, look at how this has hurt me. And I was like, fuck you guys.
No, but that movie was bad.
I didn't get that from this movie.
But I
also think this movie is bad. So
And okay, I have a couple other things I wanted to mention for this movie. So like, here, and I think we've talked about this before with other films, and it might just be like Damien said, but that movie is bad, where we do this fun toe-tapping game. Mm-hmm. Where if you think the movie is made well, like, you kind of decide how you feel about how things are portrayed, where you're like, I already know he's an asshole, so I'm not going to worry about the fact that the movie makes me feel a certain way. I know how I feel. Now I'm just going to watch scenes. And this movie has scenes. Oh my God. Like, even the final scene, like, talk about a well-taught scene of a moment of Robert De Niro. Like, I mean, none of it made sense to me, because who would have done that shit? But as it just played out of...
Didn't have cell phones.
But one of the things I actually found really fascinating in this movie, and I don't think I've really heard a lot talked about this, was the idea of how people latch on imagery to things that don't necessarily mean anything, but it meant something to them. So when you see him murder those three people in the subway, and then immediately that image of the clown mask goes on the news, and suddenly it starts this riot, this whole movement in society, where to him, he really didn't care to do any of that. He was just a psychopath murdering people, right? But somehow it managed to turn into this massive thing, with the clown mask becoming a symbol for those not seen in society. Right. And I feel like there's something in that, in this movie, about just images that that make movements but don't necessarily start out meaning anything.
Right.
I mean, it also creates its own through thread of just general self-affirmation of the Joker himself, where he's saying, oh, people like this. That's the kind of the other slippery slope of it, is that the film then creates its own loop where it kind of eggs him on to be more of a psychopath, because that's
it's
what the
one
film is.
He's done
that people see. It's kind of it kind of mimics the same thing with when you see him do stand up. Where in stand-up, you expect someone to stand up, say jokes, laughter comes, and then they're affirmed enough to continue making jokes. And as much as we weren't sure whether he understood that scenario, he didn't get that when he did his stand-up. He got it when he murdered people.
He thought he got it, though.
Weirdly enough...
Which is what I enjoyed as well.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, when he started laughing like there was no tomorrow...
Yeah.
on the stage, I thought that might work. And I thought back to Howie Mandel and his big bit when he started, which was something to the extent of him just standing up there and being like, oh, hold on, or something like that, where people just went crazy over it. And I was wondering to myself, as he was doing it, even though it was painfully obvious that he was not getting the response that he wanted, I wondered if people would respond, or at least respond positively.
But yeah, so me basically, Damien, is I definitely have feelings on this movie. I don't think I like it. I know there are a lot of things in there, but it's... I mean, who the fuck thought Todd Phillips would make such a good-looking movie in his lifetime?
It would make anything that isn't like jokes. Like, the scenes that you've asked about, you know, why would they let him on the stage? Like, they have video of this guy going on a stage and telling jokes and laughing at himself telling the jokes.
No. And, I get you.
And so,
right?
Of course, you'd bring him on TV. Of course, you would.
But you can see how quickly things go south and they just let it keep running.
Yeah.
Nobody's like jumping on people, presidential Superman saving style yet.
No, like when he puts on the thing, remember, they think this guy has lost touch with reality based on his stand up. So when he comes with the clown makeup and thing and he's just like, oh, I didn't even know there's protests. They're just like, De Niro is just like, this is so, I'm going to laugh at this man for the entire, like, this is great. The fact that he accepted to go on the thing, they're just like, he must have seen the show and see that we're laughing at him. So if he wants to come on, let's let him come on and see what this weirdo's about.
I was actually surprised they didn't have him to stand up first.
Oh, his entrance. Listen, the more I think about this show, I like the fact that they turned Bruce Wayne's father into an asshole. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was very good.
Side note, I don't know if anyone realizes, but the guy who plays Thomas Wayne in this film, he played the guy who ran Wayne Enterprises in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't see that.
Didn't catch on to that, but yeah.
People don't have anything to do with them. You're talking about the mask thing and how it mimics, kind of like the yellow vest protest that was in France, where this thing happened, and the thing that everyone used to as iconography was the fact that the guy had on the safety harness, and everyone else said, "Yeah, that is how little you think of us in this section of the population," and they mimic that in this movie. That was also impressive. Final scene was impressive. The mother's performance was impressive. Like, I am really... the more I think about this movie, the harder time I have with you guys not liking it. But let's hear what Douglas...
All right, fair enough.
Douglas has notes, so this is not...
Have notes, but Andrew, have you completed? Is there anything...
I'm ready to take a reprieve and let Douglas let Douglas tell us some of his notes.
Okay,
how bad was Carrie? But that's usually a note.
No, that was actually not a note this time. But I do want, after your reprieve, I want to hear about these reasons and how you felt that the movie was making Joaquin Phoenix into a lovable wretch. But yeah, so I have some notes. Seeing as we've been talking for a long time, I'm probably going to go through them a little bit quicker than I would have. Also, Andrew took one of my biggest a big point. But let's start with the fun stuff and the dumb stuff. All right, so the fun stuff, first of all, none of you have pointed out the fact that Bruce Wayne slid down a pole in this movie. And that was fucking amazing. All right?
You're an idiot.
Of course I'm an idiot. Come on. Come on.
Whee!
I laughed and nobody knew why I was laughing. And it was so upsetting.
Yeah. I should have watched this movie.
It's funny the things that they get right, factually right, and things they get wrong. Right.
The second thing, fuck you, Andrew. That scene where they kill Tom, I almost called him Tom Brady, Thomas Wayne, is amazing. Because the killer rips off the pearls just like in Tom Burton. and I had a nice little, nice nostalgia callback there. The one thing that I did enjoy just appreciating in this movie, and Andrew has pointed it out already, but I'll say it, is... Oh, yeah, sure. But Joaquin Phoenix essentially completes his Scorsese De Niro double. Andrew didn't mention this movie, but Joaquin Phoenix acted in Taxi Driver Part 2 in Lynn Ramsey's You Were Never Really Here.
Yep.
All right.
As Robert De Niro, and now he is acting actually as Robert De Niro again in The Joker, which is really the king of comedy. And De Niro is actually
He's playing Rupert Pupkin.
Yeah, exactly, Rupert Pupkin. And De Niro's in this movie playing Jerry Lewis or whatever his name is. And
he does it very well. Like I
He does. His De Niro is amazing. Come on.
When he wants to.
And this movie, wait for it, is produced by Martin Scorsese. So he bridges the gap, right?
So you're saying he's cheating?
He's cheating.
Okay.
The dumb stuff is, unfortunately, everything else.
Aww.
Right? So you guys have made some points that I agree with. There are scenes in this movie. And the thing about this movie is that it has the same problems as The King of Comedy for me. It is an exercise in how good can I act. And guess what? I know Joaquin Phoenix can act the shit out of things. I've seen it before. But what makes me like movies is when you act well in good movies. Right? Now, a lot of this movie is technically good. Right? All sides played well. It's extremely well directed. As we've said a million times, who would have thunk it? Right? It's extremely well acted by pretty much everybody in this movie.
Apparently Scorsese would have thunk it.
But for me, the biggest thing is that this movie is just lead up, right? This movie is pretty much, it's the same thing. It's a similar structure that Lars uses all the time. If you look at Breaking the Waves, if you look at Manderley, you kind of watch the movie and you're like, well, I guess I don't like this movie. And then at the end of the movie, you're like, fuck you, Lars. I fucking love this movie. But
the payoff
for me, the payoff just wasn't, it isn't enough.
I mean, because you also know what the payoff is. You know, he's Joker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have to tell you, I love the last fucking 5 or 10 minutes of this movie. It's amazing. Joaquin literally becomes Heath Ledger. He becomes that level of Joker. You see it in glimpses every once in a while throughout the movie, but you see it full on at the end. And even the iconography, we talk about Thomas Wayne, which is actually at the similar part at the end of the movie, that iconography. But you see the iconography that or the imagery that reminds you of The Dark Knight, of Heath Ledger specifically. For example, when he's in the back of the police car. Mm-hmm. And not only is, sure, you could say, but Douglas, he's a criminal. Of course he's in the back of a police car. That would happen. But it's not even just that. It's exactly the hair of the face. Also, the fact that he's leaning up against the side of the window. I know he's not outside of the window, but it's so lines up, right? That you have to know that wasn't an accident. That was intentional. And it was pretty good. And Joaquin, how he portrays when he's finally full on Joker is the Heath Ledger level of charisma.
Right, the showmanship is finally there.
And it's up a notch. It's fantastic.
That's fun to see.
It is,
The person at the start of that movie, like you watch 20 minutes of that movie and you're just like, he's going to be the weirdest Joker. Mm-hmm. But no, he transforms into the standard, I mean, except for Suicide Squad. Yeah. Every other Joker.
Yeah. And the thing that's upsetting is that as I was writing these notes, as I was thinking about it, because there is so much good to say about this movie. How can I talk? How can there be so much good and I don't like this movie? And this is one of those movies where I know I'm going to have to watch it again to try, you know, to try and power my way into liking it. But I go back to a movie that we watched recently and that we all love, that I think this could have taken a few pages out of that movie's book. That movie's Brightburn. Brightburn is exactly this movie. It is an origin story. It also is a super, well, not superhero. Mm-hmm. This, well, neither is this, right? Mm-hmm. But it's, let's call it a super villain movie.
Right.
So it's a comic book adjacent movie. And it brings you a character that develops from maybe not sweet boy into evil person, but from, let's say, not what you thought they would be into evil person, right? Or at least huge figure. And what Brightburn does right is it balances what this movie does a lot of, which is foreboding and slowly developing the character that you finally get to see, right? And there's a lot that this movie does right in that regard. But what I believe this movie does wrong is that it didn't also do the second thing that Brightburn does, which is every once in a while, just to make sure you don't fall asleep, something crazy happens. And I know that it did from time to time in this movie, but not enough. So there is...
I'm agreeing with
you. Okay.
Brightburn became a horror movie, which then allowed it to do our favorite thing in the world, is that Brightburn became a velociraptor.
Yes! Yes.
This is not that movie.
This is not that movie. And I understand why. There is no way...
And I didn't
way.
Expect that from this
So movie. Joaquin Phoenix would not have agreed to be the Joker, right? But tell him that he is the Joker, but more Michael Corleone.
Right.
Then he's like,
right. He has to disappear some people.
Yeah. So I am a transitional character that just happens to become
this thing. It's also harder in this movie because this movie is focused on the Joker. Brightburn, the movie was focused on everyone. Like, you spend time with everyone, not the Joker.
But think about it this way, right? In the movie. So... I was getting bored, and then finally they made him kill three people.
Right.
And I perked right up.
Right.
Then they got back to being boring again. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine if they did something like that, say, every half hour. Every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine they actually got him to be the fucking title of this movie before the 5 minutes before it ends.
Before the end scene.
Right?
Okay.
So this movie, for me, it should have been, he kills the three people. And at that point, you know, I was kind of upset, but then it happened and I said, finally, we're getting the movie that this should, we're getting to where this movie should go. Where it should have gone from there is, so that realization he makes with Paperboy should have happened maybe 10 minutes later, not a fucking hour later, right? He realizes, hold on, whether it is I liked it or this is how I am going to be the great person I am supposed to be or whatever it is. This is who I am. Or maybe he doesn't even think this is who I am. Maybe he feels it and he has misgivings about it. But it comes out and he goes out into the night and does crazy things again. Or, you know, he gets drunk and wakes up beside, like, you know, three heads and a duffel bag. Some rubbish like that, right?
And paint all over his face.
Yeah. What is happening? So if you slowly give me a couple more scenes of craziness, I would probably be even more enthusiastic than you are about
this
movie.
I can see that, yeah. If there was some more action in the movie.
Yeah. And also, finally... Just to, I really need to, the DC of this movie, and not the Damien cut, because obviously the Damien cut is just this movie twice, right? But the Douglas cut of this movie is about 5 minutes long. It is the last 5 minutes of this movie. Actually, no, it's 6 minutes long, because I would take the last 10 seconds where he's kind of running around in Arkham after clearly killing somebody.
Yes.
And just keep that on a loop for like a while.
I'd cut everything before he goes to the hospital with the gun.
That was That was special.
Because if the movie starts there, you're like, this guy's weird and brought a gun to a hospital. And then that is really where everything kicks off in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And it skips the tragic young boy and it skips a lot of the mother thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good to see the performance.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need it for what the rest of the story is. Which is like, I don't want you guys to think that I think the movie is without fault. Like, there's problems with this movie. I just don't think it is at the scale where I'd say I dislike the movie. I enjoy. Like, I didn't.
I have one more parallel to put on this movie. Something that actually came to mind that I thought was kind of cute, and I don't know if they did this intentionally or not, but it just came up in my mind during that final scene, on the talk show, with Joaquin Phoenix. Full makeup, just kind of doing his thing. Like, before he gets into, like, the full speech, right, when he's just kind of being weird,
mm-hmm,
I thought of him doing his rap career stint. I thought of him on David Letterman, when he did that thing on David Letterman. Yep. And what, for some reason, that just came up in my mind, and I thought I was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, I forgot about that movie.
What was the movie you did that for again?
You're not really here, or you're not. It was really close.
One last thing that I will say about this movie is that it did finally get where I wanted it to go. Everybody, obviously, this is a well put together film. This is a well-acted film, a well-crafted film, and I wish I liked it more. But when it finally gets to the end and we're now at status quo, we're now where the characters are, where we know them.
You're right.
That if this were a regular movie, if this were an actual DC movie, because it isn't, let's be quite frank.
Right.
But what if Robert Pattinson punches him in the face next year?
Well, that's where I'm going to, right? If this were a regular movie, I'd be extremely happy and extremely excited, because this would mean I could get a second one where Joaquin Phoenix was this the whole time.
Right.
And I would enjoy the shit out of that movie. Here's the problem. Joaquin Phoenix not doing that. Robert De Niro not going to do it anyway, because he's not available. None of the people behind this movie are ever, I hope to be proved wrong, but are ever going to make a sequel.
I am not on your
side. Hey, Marc Maron will be around for part
two. That is what I want from DC. I want one-offs.
No, I'm fine with that. My problem is the one-off fucking sucks. I want the one-off that is what
that
I like.
That is what you want.
Yeah.
I hope that they've looked at the Marvel thing and gone, unless you guys can hire Kevin Feige. Or what is his name?
That's his name.
Taika?
No, man. The guy that is running the Marvel.
Kevin Feige. That's his name.
Right. Yeah, unless you can get him, then what we'll do is we'll... You see, all the scripts we didn't accept when we were building this universe, you make those. All the weird ones where we're just like, fucking no way. Just take all of those. I need to know if it's either Fast and Furious type movie like Aquaman, or we're making dramatic movies like The Joker.
Yeah.
No more status quo. Everyone has seen Batman and Superman. We're done with this shit. And call those Brightburn people.
Because the thing is, I would love a movie where he's the Joker, and Batman isn't there. He doesn't need to be there. It is him just going crazy. And maybe he doesn't win. I don't necessarily need him to win, right? Because who cares whether the anti-hero wins, whether he loses. Sure, all of you good people out there who need the bad guy to lose, he can lose. It's fine. You can figure out a way to do it.
Right. But at the end, he slips on a banana.
Yeah. But I want to see that character. I want to see what Joaquin Phoenix becomes. But they're never going to do that.
Mm-mm.
And they fucked up this movie. I'm sorry. They screwed it up. And the sad part about it is they screwed it up simply by not having maybe an extra, or maybe not even an extra, maybe a replacement 10 minutes. That's all I needed, you know.
I know, Douglas. But for you, I have a movie for you. We call it The Dark Knight.
Oh, The Dark Knight. All right, fair enough.
You can't just watch that again. Why so serious? Just keep saying that over and over. So this movie is Stump Uproot. That's what I'm saying.
Well, if I got to approve Roma, this is Tump approved, I guess.
I am alone. I didn't mind Roma.
Excuse me?
Nice, you heard me.
What?
You heard me. I'll watch it again. It's still not good.
Damn it. This is Roma we're talking about.
I'm glad it won every single award. Because it made people angry.
I love those people who are they make this distinction between film and cinema and
net streaming garbage.
Oh, come on, guys.
Might as well be on YouTube for all.
No, I agree with them in the sense that most of them are bad. Trash. But come on. Let's not be dicks about it.
What would movie lovers be without being dicks?
Fair point.
True.
Yep.
You'd have nothing to complain about.
Cinema files and audio files are...
are on my computer.
The worst.
Ooh.
You're an idiot. Are the worst
on the planet. All right, moving on. Yes. Since we're done with the Joker.
Uh-huh.
I have something to talk about.
Yes.
Ooh.
Peaky
Blinders. Yes!
Succession is still awesome.
Okay.
Still Peaky haven't Blinders. Finished season 2. I'm watching Succession. I can't watch Peaky Blinders and Succession. That's
I watched
too
the second episode of Succession the other day.
I would say you should watch Peaky Blinders and not Succession.
Yep. Shush. Succession.
Is... The only reason I haven't started watching Peaky Blinders again is because the Blu-ray hasn't reached yet.
Anyways, otherwise, I only saw one thing to talk about, and I'm sure you'll be happy to hear I'm discussing the latest film from one Mr. Steven Soderbergh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That being The Laundromat.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Can't wait.
It is garbage. It is irreplaceable, non-refundable garbage.
Oh my God.
It is complete trash. And the worst part about it is I think he really wanted to make a documentary. And he could have made a fun documentary. So this movie is called The Laundromat. It's going to be up on Netflix in a week or something. I don't know. And it's Steven Soderbergh's latest film with Meryl Streep, Antonio Banderas, Gary Oldman, and like 5 billion other people who appear in this movie.
Everyone has to watch it.
And it is about the Panama Papers.
Oh
wow.
Oh my.
So it's right? The post part two.
Yep. But it's not the post, right? This movie plays itself up kind of like a documentary because Antonio Banderas and Gary Oldman play the roles of the bankers in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a very talk to camera thing where they're explaining their version of the story of how they got there. And Meryl Streep plays the part of a retiree who loses her husband in an accident in some boat trip, and the boat company gets screwed up in the insurance because their insurance company is a shell company through the Panama shit, and she becomes obsessed with finding out what's going on. But 80% of this movie is really just Antonio Banderas and Gary Oldman talking at you with lots of cool graphics. Like, it could have just been a talking documentary of them explaining the Panama Papers. And the truth and in fact is that the two of them are really fucking good. Like, they are kind of fun in all of the things they do. But this movie on the whole is just a preachy nonsense piece of movie that should have just been a documentary.
This looks like a comedy. I'm watching the trailer in dead silence.
It plays itself like a comedy. Like, especially because when you're there with Gary Oldman and Antonio Banderas, they're supposed to be funny, mm-hmm. right? They're doing accents and it's ridiculous, but the movie just feels empty. And it gets so up on its high horse, because this movie is preachy as all fuck. Up on its high horse when, and I'm going to, this isn't really ruining the movie, but it's actually literally the end of the movie. When the movie breaks, right? And it's no longer a movie, because you watch Meryl Streep walking across sets as Meryl Streep, no longer as whatever character she's playing.
Right.
And she goes into a soliloquy about financial stuff and about people abusing power. And the speech literally ends with her taking the pose of Lady Liberty.
Oh, so you're saying it is subtle. That's what I'm
right? And that's the end of the movie. Jeez. This movie is the biggest fuck you movie I've ever fucking seen.
Hard pass.
Damon, I'm so fucking upset at this movie.
Although I should watch it just so that I can come back on here and go, you boy Soderberg.
Oh, and you know what else it has a fun addition to being? Another film in the category of Jeffrey Wright is the only black person they can get to play a Caribbean character.
Of course.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's the guy who's signing papers in Nevis, mm-hmm. which I heard a lot of people in my audience going, where's Nevis? And I had a good chuckle.
It's close to St. Kitts.
And he's the Caribbean person. So, you know.
As a grade A joke. Damn it! Oh, so good. Such a good joke. Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, The Laundromat. Don't watch it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah, you are.
That's sheer hatred for a man that has made some good movies, but Andrew loves to a level that.
By some, do you mean three?
I won't even say three.
Oh, wait. There is four for you. I forgot.
Yeah, there's the one with James Bond.
Yeah.
All right, so then. Three and a half.
Which one of the first three you don't like?
The Ocean. Third one.
Me and Ocean's 13.
Really?
It.
So when it came out,
I
too did not understand, right? But after watching it now,
yeah.
I realize that it is just, it's bad. It's straight up bad. Oh, and that's why I like it.
Right. It feels like the one where he gave up.
They're just like, listen, we want to be together.
He's just like, listen,
we have
this
fun.
Is the formula,
we enjoy things.
And they're forcing me to do this.
Yeah, that was I'm sure that was a contract movie. That was him being like, can I please leave? And they're like,
so
no, you signed a contract.
I'm just like, this one is fun because everyone's there, but it's not clever. I don't think this one's very good. But like Lord of the Rings, it's more Oceans. So I'm going to keep watching it.
Mm-hmm. So Andrew, what else did you watch this week?
Clearly stated that is all.
Oh, that's it? All right. So guys.
I can continue screaming about how good Succession is if you'd like.
I'll get there. I'll watch Succession, you watch Peaky Blinders, and let's meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a good movie, and I watched a bad movie. Right. Which one are we talking about first?
I want the bad movie first. Bad movie first.
Bad movie first.
Bad movie first. Guys, I fucking watched Rocket Man.
Hold up a minute.
Yep, that's right.
Are you talking about the 90s like Disney movie?
Yeah.
No, that's The Rocketeer. Uh-huh. And that movie is a legend. Wait for it.
Trash.
Rocket Man, starring Tyrone fucking Edgerton, produced
I hate you.
By Matthew Vaughn.
How bad is that movie?
And fuck. And you know, the worst part about it is, Damien, I knew I
was
going to like it.
You said it.
But there's something about how flashy it was. The fact that I really do, as much as I don't own any of his music, I do love Elton John's music.
I'm going to tell Elton what you said next week when I see him.
Is it worse than the one that came out last year?
Which one is that?
With the singer, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I didn't watch that movie. Movie didn't catch me. Right. I don't have... Queen is fine, but they don't get me to watch...
You're good enough to know, Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Elton John...
Also, right? So, something like Rami Malek.
Mm-hmm.
Rami Malek, I don't necessarily think he's good at anything.
Mm-hmm.
I like him in...
specific things.
Yeah, in Mr. Robot, because I think he works well there. I don't think he actually works well many other places.
I remember being forced to watch a movie where he plays a double.
Yeah.
And I'd like an apology now.
Yeah, that movie wasn't good. This is the one where he breaks into houses, right?
I distinctly remember Douglas going on about Rami Malek and how much he loved Mr. Robot.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. Mr. Robot is amazing. That's not a movie.
Hear these words now, I feel I need...
No, as I said, he works very well in Mr. Robot. Perfect show. It's great. Bobby Cannavale is in it, Andrew. So if you watch long enough, you'll get to see him. I know you love him. But yeah. So there was something about all of those things and about Tyrone Edgerton, I think his name is, that, you know, I had to try. And
you didn't like the Elton John musical?
And you got
actually
what you
no
got.
I didn't. First of all, let's start from the beginning. This movie starts with Elton Hercules John.
I'm sorry, his middle name is
Elton Hercules John.
Alright, so I'm going home to listen to some more Elton John tonight. Hercules. Tremendous.
What is clearly a rehab meeting, in one of his fancy outfits, starting the story. And immediately, I paused the movie. I said, movie, if this is a fucking conceit that you're presenting to me, that I'm watching a story from you here about your life. Wow. Lifehood. About your life.
Right.
I'm going to be so upset. And I wouldn't say that the conceit was fully formed, but for at least the first three quarters of this movie, that's what it is. It is supposedly him telling his story in rehab.
Okay.
No, sure. There are a lot of moments, Andrew. Right? There are a couple of... Remember, we spoke about Midsommar last week. And there being... Yes, unfortunately. Similar to Midsommar, there are maybe two scenes in this movie where they do that thing where you don't necessarily expect the scene to morph the way it does, but you realize that you're time traveling and they do it kind of well. I can't remember... the other one, but the one that stuck with me was there's this time when he did he try to kill himself or no I think he just he overdosed and had a heart attack, and they transitioned that into his manager saying, don't worry, I'll get him on stage, and then it's not a cut the way they did it in Midsommar, but it's more a transition where they show we didn't stay long enough in the hospital. They just dress him up on the gurney,
right,
and then push him out onto the stage. Right. So that was kind of cool.
That's pretty good.
Right? Yeah. And it's actually the scene in the trailer. So you don't see the hospital part.
Right.
But in the trailer, you see a scene where he's wearing like a flashy baseball outfit, and he's kind of upset. And then as soon as he goes on the stage, he smiles.
Right.
That's the tail end of that scene.
That's pretty good.
And it's pretty good. Andrew, this movie has some technical wow stuff, right?
Oh, it's so fucking good.
It's not fucking good. This movie also has a lot of Elton John music. Guess what, Damian? I like Elton John.
I also like Elton. I was told not to like him. because I'm Jamaican, mm-hmm. and Elton John.
People music?
No, yes. Elton John decided that he was going to love Man at some point. That's right.
Yep.
And then, even as a child, I said, but he wrote most of the music for The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a child, adults couldn't explain to me how they're going to convince me that they no longer like The Lion King. So you have to go explain this to me, guys. So, you know, he wrote the songs for The Lion King, right? And they're like, uh-huh. You don't like The Lion King now? Here's what, young man. Look over there. Stop talking to me. I like me a lot of Elton John.
And so some of that music works very well.
I have a lot of CDs.
Yeah. Because sometimes you can hear it's actually Elton John singing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's Tyrone singing. He can actually sing. He sings well. And
I hate those people.
I know, right? But then again, Jamie Foxx did it in Ray, and
you can't look that good and act that good and sing. That's not fair to the rest of. I just have to hope that they're dumb as shit.
And for the most part, him singing as Elton John is good, mm-hmm. right? But there are some times where you're just kind of like, oh, this is kind of like Broadway.
Yeah.
This is kind of not exact. It's just bad enough for me to
that
not.
That you can't hear it.
So I hate it because it's not the original song, right? And so it suffers from that problem where every once in a while they're like, not the song I want to hear.
Stop it.
Yeah. And it is a musical, Damian. It's not a movie. Mm-hmm. It's a musical. And they treat it as such. Yeah. Okay. But not even just, it's not even simply that it is his music in the soundtrack. It is used not as blatantly as, say, Strawberry Fields, what's that one called? Across the Universe.
Okay.
But let's say 80% of Across the Universe. Andrew, is that a fair percentage?
Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah. So it's a musical.
My question is this. Did you like any of the versions in the movie?
Yeah, I do. I'm not saying that this movie doesn't have good music. Obviously.
You're cheating. Yeah.
But just like how when I said I hated the Amy Winehouse documentary,
mm-hmm.
I like all the music in that documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The documentary just isn't good. Right?
No, but there's also a thing with this movie where they did a lot of rearrangements and a lot of variations for the music that weren't ever conceived or done in a production sense for Elton John's songs.
That's true. And I think, as I said, some of those don't work. But there are some that work well as well. You know, it's a mixture. But I'm not going to grade this movie on whether or not
I like Elton John's music.
Right? Mm.
You're saying I can't cheat and force you to say you like it?
Not in this case.
Yeah.
Clearly, Elton John, I like him, but I don't like him enough to close my eyes and watch this movie.
Maybe, though. It's not a bad idea.
The one thing I will say that I did love about this movie is that it forced me to search on the internet as to whether Elton John ever actually used to do the jump thing on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. Elton John was a crazy person.
Listen, cocaine is a hell of a
joke. I want to watch some of his performances because apparently I've seen pictures of him now
mm-hmm.
where his hands are on the piano like he's mm-hmm. playing. His feet are there in the air. And I want to see. I still haven't found a video where he does it.
Right.
I've just seen pictures. I want to see the video where he does it and how it looks, I want it.
Tremendous.
I'm searching. I'm still searching. So, you know, obviously people played hard, whatever, but fuck this movie. This movie is kind of, it's so fucking formulaic. It's annoying. And by the way, just to let you know, after he went to rehab, he lived happily ever.
Of course. Of course he did.
Yeah.
It's a movie, right? That's how this works.
Again, the subject matter has to be right in my wheelhouse for me to like a movie like this. And it's just...
And this one did not?
No.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. So, you guys want to know the good movie I watched?
Yes, please.
The Fifth Element. No, normally I wouldn't talk about this movie.
That's not goddamn lie.
Normally I wouldn't give it more than you know, maybe I'd mention it and be like, I watched this movie, but let's move on. But shit. I did have to talk about it simply because Lilu Dallas Multipass. But simply because I didn't realize until maybe three quarters way through this movie that I think this was just a subconscious decision after I watched Anna. I watched Anna and was like, more!
I need more.
Yeah. And watch it. And guys, this movie holds up. The effects in this movie, the greatness of this movie holds up so well to this date. To this day. It's great.
Listen to me. Every, like, you know what that movie reminds me of the most? And it makes sense based on the movie that I'm going to talk about later. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the first Men in Black, where if you wrote it on paper, there's no fucking way anyone is going to like this. We've given you, it felt like someone didn't realize what the director was making, and then at the very end was just like, look, we have to put it out because somebody is going to get me back my money, because I don't know what this is, but this is all trash.
By the way, I have to say to you, so I recently went on a spree, and I think you were here at the time, mm-hmm. of just buying shitty movies.
Yes.
Two of those shitty movies were Adam's
Family. Do you
buy
anything else? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few things. Adam's Family and Adam's Family Values. Mm-hmm. I realize now, because I got them and I looked at them, that's directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who also directed Men in Black. Mm-hmm. And then I went through his IMDb. Sure, he's got some shit. But when he gets it right, whew, he needs to make more movies. Apparently, he hasn't directed anything in a while.
Man's probably tired.
Yeah, but he also needs to do something
also
more, please.
Nightmarishly old.
Yeah, probably.
For everything to come together in Lilu Dallas's Multipass is so spectacular. I, for many years, I thought that is what the Star Wars movies were for people who saw it. Like, people who saw it before, when they were children. They looked at the Star Wars movies how I looked at The Fifth Element, with just blind amazement and wonder. And it is why, even though I've given Star Wars people all the shit I can, I get that you saw it as a child, and so now your mind can't. Like, I am transported every time I watch mm-hmm. that movie. Mm-hmm. I remember that Bruce Willis was good. I remember that Chris Tucker was
the
good.
Best performance I've ever seen out of Chris Tucker.
Right.
That is his defining performance.
The only person that got better after that movie was Gary Oldman. Everyone else peaked in Lilu Dallas's Multipass. That movie is like, from the music to the acting, set design, like, none of this movie should work. It's ridiculous.
But the editing of this movie, man.
Douglas
is like, perfect.
I know there aren't any perfect movies, but this is the exception that proves it. This movie has no flaws. There's no wrinkles. I've watched this movie in every format imaginable, and I don't see any problems with this movie.
Speaking of every format, when is it coming out on 4K?
God, I love this. Anyways, all right. So is that, those are your two?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I have terrible movies to talk about. One of those movies I really did enjoy. All right. So, Andrew Robinson. If you go onto Amazon and you type Lilu Dallas Multipass, you will be rewarded. with something tremendous. I would like one of those. I would like one of those. No one can ever find it. Sorry, no woman that I'm presently looking can ever find this. I'll buy this after I'm married. Once it's too late for her to back out. I'll
buy me one of these. Oh, you can actually get a Corbin Dallas one, but that's not important.
No one wants
yeah.
that. All right. So, we will start. I watched the Nikki Glaser stand-up special.
Damian White.
Yes.
Damian White.
Hi.
You finished it?
I did.
Are you going to tell me the same thing you told me with the other one?
No.
Okay, good. Because no. I could not finish that one.
Andrew, have you seen this?
I have not. I was planning to.
Don't.
No, don't. Don't.
You don't need to.
Mm-mm.
You can't skip this one. I then proceeded to watch In the Tall Grass. It's a horror movie.
That I was also planning to watch.
Oh, that's the one where like they can't remember what they're doing or something like that.
Where the grass is
eating
them.
Yeah, yeah, the grass is greener on the inside.
I don't like horror movies. This is
good
bad.
Oh, bad. Okay, cool.
I don't know if other people will like this. Douglas, there is a point about halfway through this movie that something so dumb happens, I thought about canceling Netflix. It's like, I'm going to stop it. this is what I get for using Netflix incorrectly. I followed Douglas's recommendation and watched a movie built by the man that gave me Lilo Dallas's Multipass.
Oh,
Douglas
no.
is incorrect.
You don't like
that
it.
That movie is bad. Not good, bad. It's bad, bad.
Bad, bad?
It's
really?
Bad, bad, Douglas.
Is that bad?
Douglas, I don't know
what mental state
you are in.
It was good.
The action is good.
Yes.
Nothing else is good.
Helen Mirren.
Listen, Helen Mirren. Don't throw Helen Mirren at me, right? Don't throw that in my face.
Hi, Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren is that in all of these terrible movies that she started coming. She just pops up, is Helen Mirren, and then walks off. I will watch this one again, though, because I did like the action, and maybe it's something that
there
might grow on me.
So but, you like it.
But
you love this movie.
I know it is not good, bad. I'm well aware that this movie is bad, bad. The final movie that I did watch,
should I get the multiple?
And I want to talk about, is the new Men in Black.
Oh, okay. Have I talked about this? Because I've watched this movie.
I don't think you have.
All right, so we can talk
Andrew,
about it.
Andrew, have you seen the new Men in Black?
Yeah.
I have.
Did he talk about this movie?
He has talked
At
about
some
this
point
on the
I
podcast.
Did.
Okay. I thought I did, but we can talk about it.
What's
this.
Your feelings on the new Men
movie.
In Black? I like this movie. I like it. It's not great, but everything that isn't the first Men in Black, there's been no great one since the first one's accident. I've just accepted that. There'll never
I
be anything as good as that one.
That there are varying levels of
bad Men in Black?
Yes, but
yeah,
also
the
varying
one is
levels
the worst.
Of good Men in Black. The second one is the worst?
The second you one know? Is, yeah.
Hold on, let me remember. Which one is the second one?
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, second one is the
second
worst.
Second one's the worst. Fire and away.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
raining because you're crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to stab myself with the second one.
But I enjoy watching all of those. So.
No, the first one is magic.
Yeah, the first one is actually good.
It's the it shouldn't make
the
sense.
The other two I like because of me. And I
right.
know that.
The third one is an enjoyable Men in Black movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this one. People seem real harsh and real down on this movie.
No,
but
I was being particularly harsh because I knew
no,
where you
just,
were going.
Not just you.
But this movie is just, it's just not that great.
The two leads are exactly what you want.
No, they're not.
Fun.
No, they're not.
I'm sorry.
Because exactly what I want are Thor and Valkyrie. And they are not Thor and Valkyrie.
Did you see where this was directed by Taika?
No.
So you can't then expect
No. You did not say that they're what you expect. You said they're what you want.
All right, fine. I enjoyed...
Are they what you need?
They're what you need. I enjoyed all of the thing. Where they're just stand-ins for the guys that were there before. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the little short. I think Harry Kondabolu was the little short.
No. That was Kumail, I think.
Kumail? Yeah. I mean, same difference.
sure.
Can't tell them apart. Both Mexican. enjoyed that. I enjoyed the girlfriend character with the three
Kumail
arms.
Had a couple of dumb jokes.
I enjoyed the initial bad guys that kind of dematerialized. I was just like, was just popping and locking their way through the movie. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that Liam Neeson is finally an old fucking man for the first time in 20 years since he was an old fucking man. He's back to being an old man.
He got taken.
He did got took.
Yeah.
I like all of the parts. It's not the best Men in Black, but that will never happen again. But all of it works in a movie called Men in Black. Like, they did the thing that they were supposed to do.
But Damian,
and I like
to be
it.
Fair, shouldn't it be Men and Women in Black?
I mean, I like how they just had women.
Yeah.
I even like the other British guy. That C, I think he was in it. He was the stern one that was giving Thor a lot of shit.
Is it Rafe Spall? Is that who it was?
Yep.
Yeah. I like Rafe Spall a lot. Ever since Shadow Law. I've loved Rafe Spall. You guys, by the way,
yes.
I know to this day you have not watched that show.
But it's so dumb.
You need to watch Shadowland.
Whenever you say it, all I hear is Street Fighter, and I just can't bring myself
it's
to
so
do.
I'm just upset that Douglas uses that as his point of reference as opposed to Hot Fuzz for Rafe Spall.
No, because Hot Fuzz is not Rafe Spall.
Right, it's the other
Hot
two
Fuzz is
Egg and what's it?
He's
one
of the Andes.
Those guys were from before.
Come on.
As far as I'm
he's
concerned,
one of the Andes.
No, it's the other Andy. It's Paddy Considine, and also I can't remember her name in the movie, but the one lady who makes just inappropriate jokes and becomes the queen in
Olivia Colman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. Well, I meant her character name, but yeah, her name is Olivia Colman. In the Yorgos movie. She, like, those two people, those are the standouts for me in that movie. Yes, Rafe Spall is good in that movie. Rafe Spall is great in most things, even bad things. He's one of those.
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought the new MIB was fine.
The trailer showed what the movie was, and then it executed on what the trailer
was. I was kind of sad that it's not a movie that I would want to watch very many more times.
Not all movies can be that.
Yeah.
You know, if all movies were that, you'd die.
Would you though?
Yeah, you need shitty movies. Because sometimes the circle goes all the way around.
Sometimes you need to watch a Joker.
No, sometimes you need Airborne. Sometimes it completes the loop. It's so very bad.
Why have we not, or has it just not come out yet? Because I'm pretty sure I remember they were working on it. Why have we not had a podcast about the FP part?
You remember what happened last time? I watched the FP. It ruined my life. Right? I'm afraid to watch the FP part.
When is my next pick?
Because I already have one perfect movie.
But the ducks, Damien. The ducks!
God, your next pick is when I tell you it is.
And now that you know what I want, it is Nebuary. Look at you now.
look at you now.